We present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
The Case of the Crooked Parson.
Police station. I'm not having any big flat-footed copper calling me a...
Quiet!
You shut up.
Mum's right, Alfie. Shut up.
That'll do, Jimmy. I'm sorry about this, Superintendent.
I'm only an inspector, sir.
Well, I'm sure they'll make you the boss one day. Just keep on polishing your buttons and make sure you don't get woodworm in your...
Jimmy!
I know. Quiet.
Please keep quiet, boy, while I'm questioning my constable.
Sorry, sir.
Thank you. Well, then, P.C. Carter, I was asking you why you didn't investigate this boy's story.
Because he's reported so-called crimes to me before, sir.
Hmm?
The last one I investigated was the body in the shopping arcade.
When was that?
Last November, sir. It turned out to be a Guy Fawkes dummy for collecting pennies with
him. I'm sorry about that one, Constable, but I did say you could let one of me sparklers off.
And another thing, sir. You ask Sergeant Wilson what this lad reported to a police car. A donkey, loose, in the garden of No. 12 Waterloo Road.
Hey, that's where I live.
Yes, if you remember, sir. You were the donkey.
What?
It was April the 1st and Alfie was digging his dad's old rhubarb up. It was just a joke, you see. A bit of fun.
Yes, it was a joke, all right. He kept calling the two officers in the car Jock and Fancy.
What's so terrible about that?
They were the chief constable and his deputy, sir.
Like I was saying, it was only a bit of harmless fun. You're not going to lock me up, are you?
Why not? You deserve it, you little monkey.
No, Pipe. This time Jimmy's telling the truth for once. You see, Inspector...
If you don't mind, Mr. Sinclair, I'd like to hear it from the boy himself first.
Right, I'll tell you as one of your policemen would tell it in court. The story first started at the beginning. It was last Tuesday, the day before last Wednesday. I was proceeding the wrong way up a one-way street when I...
Oh, behave yourself. Tell it properly.
All right, ma'am. You see, Inspector, I was with Alfie.
Yeah, that's right, on my bike in King Street.
Alfie, I'm supposed to be...
You see, we were just coming home from school. Not me, I don't go, I've left. I've been to see my mum and dad. Well, off, that is.
Do you mind, Alfie? The Inspector asked...
They've gone to my auntie's for a day or two, and on my way back I gave Jimmy a lift.
Quiet! Keep him quiet, Constable. Stand on his tongue or something. As I was saying, I shouted to Alfie to stop because I wanted him to buy me some sweets. And we pulled up outside that block of shops in King Street. Oh, go on, Alfie. It won't take you a minute. Nip in that shop and get me a quarter of jelly babies.
I can't buy you jelly babies in that betting shop.
No, and I'll bet you can't put your shirt on Lester Piggott in that toffee shop next door.
Oh, I'm sorry, I hadn't noticed the toffee shop. Now, what am I getting you?
I'll have a pound of jelly babies.
All right, get a pound?
Well, if you think it's not enough, make it two.
You'll have a quarter, that's all you're getting.
Oh, all right. While you're in there, I'll have a walk over to that betting shop.
Give over, you can't go in that betting shop. Your mother would go mad if I let you go in one of them places.
Well, there can't be much wrong with them. A parson's just gone in that one.
A parson? Oh, of course. Well, you see, he'll be putting last Sunday's collection on a horse so he can win his organ in some new pipes.
I'm telling you, Alfie, a big bloke just went in that betting shop and he was turning his coat collar up, but I'm sure he had a dog collar on.
Oh, you and your furry tails. A parson going in a betting shop.
I'm telling you, it's true. I'll bet he puts the ticket in his pocket, forgets what's on it, and next Sunday he says, and now for our next hymn, Hallelujah, 3:30, Haydock Park.
You know, I don't know which of the worst, your corny jokes or your fairy stories. You know, you stop here, I won't be a minute.
I'm sure that bloke had a dog collar on. I'll go to the door and peep inside. Now, let me see. Whoops!
Who? Want that out of my way, you horrible brat.
Oh, I'm sorry, Vicar. You shouldn't be in such a rush.
Yeah, I'll drop my wallet, thanks to you.
I'll get it for you.
Don't touch it. I'll get it myself.
Hey, I was right. You have got a dog collar on.
None of your business, you perishing nuisance. And keep out of my way in future.
Now, what's upset the vicar? Perhaps one of his bell ringers has dropped a clanger.
Back, you thief. Come back. Get out of my way, sonny. What a day. My life has got away.
He's just gone round the corner.
Oh, but anyone should have my luck. First Rachel is wanting the new fur coat, then the kids are having the measles, and now I'm being swindled out of 15 quid. Son, you want to buy a business cheap?
Oh, it's your betting shop. Is that your name painted on the window? Your Happy Harry, the punter's friend.
That's me. What a life. On top of all my troubles, that big geezer comes in now and swindles me. 15 quid he collects on somebody else's account.
Ooh, the crafty old parson. He's all there with his in boots.
Parson? Parson? If he's a parson, I'm the Prime Minister of Israel. He's a con man, a crook.
Well, let's get the police then. And if they want a description, I can tell them what he looks like.
No, no, son. The business is bad enough without my client seeing the police coming in the place.
Well, I think he should be caught and shoved in jail. He didn't only pretend to be a vicar and rob you. He called me an horrible brat.
Never mind, I don't want no trouble. My life for this, I give up the tailoring trade.
Oh, what a shame being swindled like that. I'll bet if I got the police to catch that crook, Happy Harry would thank me with the 10 bob note.
Oh, yeah, come on, grab your sweets and let's get back to your house.
Right, Alfie, straight on to the top of the street. I want to see that nice policeman on point duty in the square.
Oh, all right, hey, wait a minute. We'll be going the wrong way that way. This is the way we go, this way. What do you want to go that way for?
To see the policeman. I'm hot on the trail of a thief.
What thief?
The one who broke into your head and stole your brains. Oh, come on.
So that's the old story, is it, sonny?
That's right, Constable. It's the truth, the whole truth.
And nothing like the truth.
That's right. Hey? Are you calling me a fibber?
Now, why would I call you that after what you've just told me? Here we have this bloke who, according to your description, has squint eyes, a flat nose and a cauliflower ear.
That's right. He's the parson.
And this parson, in broad daylight and wearing his clerical clobber, walks into a betting shop.
Yeah, but he wasn't a real parson. That's his disguise.
And to cap it all, we have a bookmaker who, having just been swindled out of 15 quid, doesn't want to try and get it back again. That's your story.
That's it. I don't want much for my reward. Just your helmet full of shillings.
You can put that in. You, sir.
Me?
Yes, you. The boy said you'd confirm this load of... this story of his.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did stop to go in the sweet shop, and if it's proof you want, have a jelly baby.
Look, sir, you say you agree with the boy's story.
Yeah, he saw it all, plain as anything.
When you were in the sweet shop?
That's right.
So he saw it all, but you didn't see anything?
No. No, but it must have happened because he told me after I came out of the... Oh, no. I'm sorry you've been troubled. Bye-bye.
I'll just complete this report in my notebook. Having listened carefully to this story given to me by the two alleged witnesses, and that no further action should be taken in this matter. I think you'll agree it was a reasonable attitude to take, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, Constable Carter, but although it sounded very improbable, you should have checked on it.
Now, look, Inspector, you really can't blame the constable for not believing my grandson. I mean, he's always telling stories.
Yeah, that's true. Take last Friday. He came home and told us his science master was a secret agent.
A secret agent?
Well, it's true in a way. He doesn't want the headmaster to know he has a part-time insurance round.
Then on Sunday he came home with news that he'd seen a flying saucer.
I did! It was the one Ozzy's mum threw at his dad for coming on.
You have my sympathy, missus. He's always telling... fairy story.
All right, Carter, all right. Leave this to me. Now, look, Mrs. Clitheroe, let's get to the point where you said this crook had called at your house.
Oh, yes. You answered the door, didn't you, Father?
Aye. Oh, and there was this chap dressed like a Persian. And he said he had just arrived from Central Africa.
Which was a lie. The bus he got off had just come from Stockport.
Be quiet, Jimmy. This, parson gave Father an envelope, said he was collecting for the Central African Relief Fund. He was organising this new thing, the,
Bigger and better cooking pots for cannibals.
He said it was, something to do with a new education scheme for the natives. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd just put half a crown in the envelope when...
Half a crown? He was only as... Ow, me leg!
Father was just putting the the money into the envelope when our Jimmy rushed up, took one look at the man and shouted that he was a crook.
Yeah, that's true. You see, I was with Jimmy and he was shouting, "Don't give him anything, it's Fred the phony parson again."
I see. And what happened next?
Well, I can tell you that. I was thinking, I wonder if they believe this bloke's a crook, when something struck me. It was me granddad.
You asked for it. The noise you were making. You see, Inspector, knowing what Jimmy is for telling stories, we just didn't believe the man was a crook.
Why shouldn't they?
Why shouldn't they? Have you ever seen a parson with hobnailed boots, bicycle clips and a fag behind his ear?
Now, don't exaggerate. He didn't have to look all posh if he'd just arrived from Central Africa.
No, but he couldn't half talk posh. Different to what he did outside the betting shop.
Oh, why? What did he say?
Well, when my mum said I had to go to bed for calling him a crook, the parson said, "Oh, how unfortunate that the imaginings of a child's mind should cause distress. Let us be charitable and forgive the boy." And then, when they weren't looking, he whispered to me, "One more peep out of you and I'll swing." And he kicked me sit upon.
Mrs. Clitheroe, you said that the man arranged to call the following day for the envelope.
Yes, in case we wished to collect some more money from our friends. He called the following afternoon.
Did none of you follow up the boy's allegation that the parson was a crook?
Well, I did, worse luck.
Well, how do you mean, Mr. Hall?
Well, when I heard the man say he was calling back, I told Alfie to hide outside our house. And when the bloke left, he had to follow him.
Yeah, I did. And he went everywhere, here, there, upstairs, downstairs, in my lady's... Oh, no, it wasn't there. No, it was the other one. That's where he got rid of his vicar's dog collar, I think.
Uh-huh, and that's when you and the boy saw him join his confederate.
That's right. They met outside a cafe, went in and sat in one of them cubicle things. This is the moment I've been waiting for. Earlier that day, I told Alfie to bring his camera with him. So when the crooks went in the cafe, I said, "Alfie, we're going in with your camera." Alfie said, "What for?" I said, "To take a birthday snap of that meat pie on the counter. It's 5 years old today." Then we sneaked into the cafe, hot on the trail of the two crooks.
Did you see where they went, Jimmy?
Yes, they're in the cubicle at the end there. It's by the window, so there'll be plenty of light to get a photograph. Go on.
Right, wait a minute. Yeah, as soon as I take the photo, they'll both set on me.
Pretend you're taking photos of everybody.
You what?
You know, like in that film we saw on the telly last week. The spy picture. Remember, the man said he was unsuitable for children. Then they tortured the spy. You went white and I got you a glass of water.
Yes, I remember. So what?
Well, there was a girl in it who went round the nightclub taking pictures of everybody.
Oh, yeah. She had long blonde hair and a little black bird. She was a woman.
Get away.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go around like her taking pictures of me little black pretending to be a woman. I mean, a photographer, they wouldn't believe it.
What, that you were a woman?
Yeah, no. No, that I was a photographer.
Can I help you, sir? Do you want a table for two?
No, just a woman. Your photograph. I'm waiting for one, I mean, to take it.
I'm sorry, sir, I don't understand you.
Oh, don't worry, he doesn't understand himself. We'd like to sit at that table over there, next to the end.
Oh, very well. This way, please.
Thank you very much.
I'm afraid it looks like rain, sir.
Well, what does? Oh, yes. Yeah, that reminds me of a joke.
The waiter said, it looks like rain. And the man said, I thought it was soup. You see, the soup was thin soup, and the man was pulling his leg.
Waiter, when you finish laughing, I'll have a cup of tea.
Yes. And what do you want, sir?
He wants flogging.
Shut up, you.
Yeah, I'll have a cup of tea as well, please.
Yes, sir. Tea for two. Nothing to eat.
Am you? No, Yeah, no thanks.
I'll get the tea.
And get a big hammer in case Alfie tells another joke. Quick, I forgot. We have to keep our voices down. The crooks are in the next cubicle. The parson will recognise our voices. Oh,
yes, you're right. Hey, why don't we move?
Oh, give me strength. Because you've got to get a photograph of them to give to the police.
Hey, wait a minute. How can I get a picture of them from behind here?
Well, stand on the seat at the back there and snap them over the top of the petition.
Hey, that's a good idea. No, it isn't. I'll get a photograph of the top of their heads.
Well, say, watch the birdie. And snap them when they look up.
Oh, yeah. They look up at me and they'll see me.
So, you jump out of the window and I'll meet you at the police station.
Don't be daft. Look, I'll have a peep over the top and find out how much I can see.
All right. Right, be careful they don't spot you.
Don't worry. Hey, pass the camera up, I can get the faces side on.
Oh, good lad, Alfie. Here you are.
Dan, I'll just get it in focus.
Here we are. Tea for... What are you standing up for, sir?
He wants a high tea.
I'm very sorry, I'll get down. Hey, up!
Good heavens, are you all right?
Oh, my leg. Oh, my leg, I can't move.
Anything, sir?
Yeah, move the table and set the tea things on the floor.
Yeah, I was right, Carver. It is him. I knew I recognised that voice.
Yeah. You got the kid you're telling me about and all.
Oh, come on, Alfie. We'd better run for it.
Oh, Billag, I can't run.
Well, I'll run. You hop it.
Yeah, just a minute. What are you doing here?
We just wanted some tea, didn't we, Alfie?
Yeah, that's all.
You know, you had no right to be standing on the seat, so you can't blame the cafe if you're hurt.
Standing on the seat, eh? Were you listening to our conversation? Here, Wiggin.
No, I was just taking your photograph. I mean, I wasn't. I didn't.
He was leaning over to borrow the sugar.
Very funny. All right, waiter, you can go now, and here's the money for our tea. We'll sit here for a minute with our friends, won't we, Carver?
Yeah. We'll have a nice little tea party.
Yeah.
We're not thirsty now, honest.
Right, sir. Thank you. Taking photographs in a cafe. Oh, hello, Constable. The alcove at the end's free. I'll be along in a minute to clear the table.
Right, George. Just a pot of tea, please.
Alfie, it's our friend, the copper, off point duty.
Hey, parson. It's the law.
Right, outside quick, and just act natural. You haven't seen the last of me, you two.
Constable, stop them. Stop the crooks.
Not you again. I can see I shall have to start and find a new cafe.
Hey, you know that crook I told you about, the parson? You just passed him.
What are you on about? I didn't pass any parson.
No, he's not the parson now. I mean, he's not dressed.
Oh, I see. The parson's turned into a nudist.
No, he's changed his clothes, Jimmy means. He's not a parson to look at, although he's still the parson, the one who was pretending to be. I mean, the crook who looks like a parson, only he doesn't now.
Look, if you two start again, I'll arrest you both for obstructing an officer in the execution of his tea.
To get them out of trouble, Susan.
Yes, here they are, saved from Dartmoor.
Never mind the jokes, Scraggy Neck.
Shut up, you. It was very nice of Susan to come all the way to the cafe to pay the bill.
That's your business. You left your wallet at home. Anyway, I asked the waiter to let you wash up.
If you'd been on your own, you could have washed up for a week before I'd have helped you.
Fancy going in a cafe with no money. Hey, just a minute. Where's the 5 shillings pocket money you got last night, Jimmy?
In me pocket.
And you let Susan go all the way down...
The bill was £1.
For a pot of tea, £1?
No, the tea was only 2 shillings.
Well, what was the other 18 shillings for?
Alfie's a big tipper.
Alfie damaged a chair, Mother, and he had to pay for it.
Well, well, you two are back home, I see.
He's quick, isn't he, Alfie?
Yeah, shut up.
Why do you want to go on a cafe for your tea, anyway?
We didn't go in for tea, did we, Alfie?
No, we went in for photographs.
Well, there's no need to be sarcastic.
No, I'm not. We did. We go in for pictures to take them. Crooked ones. The crooks, I mean. The parson Jimmy saw with his pal. No, not Jimmy. The parson's pal, the other crook.
Oh, no, we're not on that again.
Oh, yes, Mother. No doubt the second one is a burgling bishop.
It's true, I tell you. They are crooks.
Now, look, we want no more of your lies. And you ought to have more sense, Alfie, than encourage him.
But I saw the bishop. I mean the other one. They were having tea and talking, and they sat down and said we were going to have a tea party, so they must be crooks. That's not right.
Don't say anymore. You're just believing what Jimmy told you. You fall for anything.
Yeah, it fell for you.
That's enough. Now just let the subject drop.
But, Mum, I tell you...
Jimmy, now we want no more of it. You heard your mother.
Yeah, well, if we're going to the first house pictures, Susan, I'd better slip home and get me money.
Righto, I'll be ready when you get back. I have to change my dress and do my face.
I'll do your face. Pass the poker.
Cut it out. You'll be going to bed now instead of staying with Alfie.
Is Jimmy staying with Alfie tonight?
Yes, Mr. Sinclair. My mum and dad have gone to my uncle's for the night, to a party.
So there's nobody to look after him?
That's right. All right.
Well, you don't want to be on your own, Alfie, when something goes bump in the night.
What'll go bump in the night?
You, when I push you out of bed.
In you go, Jim. The hall's light's just inside the door.
Right, Alfie.
Oh, I think we'll have a cup of tea before we go to bed.
Oh, where the heck's the blooming light switch? I can't find it.
Oh, out of me way. I know exactly where it is. Hang on!
Fancy having a light switch on the floor.
To be funny.
All right, I've found the switch. There you are.
Hey, come in the living room. I'll sit down for a minute before I make the tea.
All right, but I'll go in first and find the light switch. Now, where is it?
It's right here.
Oh, thanks, Mick. Help!
Grab him, Carver.
I've got him.
Right, let go.
Get off me, you big crook.
Yeah, it's no use struggling. Oh, my leg. You little rat.
Help me.
Yeah, well, if you try that again, I'll tie him in a knot.
Hey, that's a good one.
Right. Now then, hand over that photograph.
What photograph? The one on the mantelpiece of my mum and dad's wedding.
Ho, ho, ho. We've got a comic here, Carver.
Yeah. He's got a sense of humour. Shall I break his funny bone?
No, I didn't.
Now, listen. Carver here got his name because he's very handy with a knife.
Oh, I see. Carving a joint.
Yeah. Only I don't carve meat. I don't carve meat. I carve noses. Off people who stick them in where they're not wanted.
But I haven't got a nose. I mean, I mean a picture of a nose, sticking it where a picture... I didn't click it.
Yeah. Are you some sort of a nut?
Yeah, that's it. He goes round pointing cameras, but he has no film and he never clicks them.
Shall I get me knife, Parson?
No. Honestly, it's just a nut, aren't you?
Yes, I'm Crappis.
All right, all right. Take them upstairs and tie them up, Carver, and I'll search round it.
Yes, we won't disturb you. We are going to sleep.
I'll see you go to sleep.
Keep going, Alfie. I can feel the rope round my wrist getting a bit slacker.
I'll have to have a rest. My jaws are aching. Yeah, this rope tastes horrible.
What did you expect him to tie us up with, licorice? Oh, keep biting, the Carver will be back. The parson said he had to come back from the club before midnight to check on us.
All right. Look, pull out on your wrists. Here goes. Oh, it tastes awful.
Ow! That's me a bit.
You taste horrible as well.
There, just watch it. I'll pull us out of the... It snapped. Oh, what a relief.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, untie your feet and then get me loose.
Oh, all right, I know. When we do get free, we'll dash round to the police station and have the three of them locked up.
The three of them?
Yeah, the two crooks and our vicar for telling them where you lived. Right, I've got a knife in my pocket, so I'll cut your rope.
Yeah, but be careful. Hey, the vicar didn't know they were crooks. The police won't touch him.
Oh, well, I will. That's your hands loose. The vicar will get a shock when the organ starts playing I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles.
What do you mean?
I'll put salt powder down the pipes. Clear up. Yeah, up you get.
Oh, that's better. Ah, gun, my knuckles are sore.
Never. Hey, his bike. Carver's downstairs.
All right, we've had it.
He's had it, you mean. When he opens the door, I'll throw a blanket over his head, and while he's struggling, you clout him with that flower vase.
But it's my mum's favourite.
Oh, don't argue. Grab it, he's here.
Right, I'll do it.
Now, Alfie, got you!
What for this, Carver?
Good lad, Alfie. Get the rope, we'll tie him up before he wakes up.
Right, yeah. But he won't come round for a bit.
Oh, let's have a look at you, Carver. Off with the blanket. Oh, heck. Alfie!
What?
Don't bother about the rope. It isn't Carver.
You mean it's the parson?
No, it's your dad.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan, with Brian Truman, Tony Melody, Leslie Dunn, and David Richardson. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
Oh, what a carry-on. It took us 5 minutes to get Alfie's dad round, but it took us 10 minutes to get Alfie round after his dad hit him. Oh, and by the way, the police caught the crooks, but not through us. They were stopped for speeding and started to fight with the coppers. So the inspector said there was no reward. He said, "You have the reward of being a good citizen. Virtue is its own reward." Marvellous, isn't it? I mean, how many whipped cream walnuts can you get for a pound of virtue? Ta-ra! Thank you.